Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes that they can't get to work, even if they like them. Joel is here.
Hey!
It's producer Joel.
Yes, it is. How's it going, everyone? Good.
It's going well. I thought you were asking me for a second, then I was about to answer. But yeah, I mean, wait for them to tweet in, shall we? I mean, we've got to finish it.
We've got stuff to
do, in a rush as well.
You're in such a rush.
And also, sorry, everybody, if you like normally listen to this on your way to work, we're late. This is a late...
We are late.
But it's been manic. It's been busy.
It has been busy. But I tell you what, I really like Mark. You're in a real rush, but you're so polite. You're still taking your shoes off.
I did. When I was coming in, I thought, shall I?
You didn't have to. I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah, but it's just it's
you're,
way
if
I am.
You're late by a minute now.
It's the way I am, mate. Oh yeah, I know. Guess where I'm going, Joel? Have I told you what gig I'm doing?
No, yeah, you have. But let's pretend you haven't. It'll be a fun bit.
What gig do you reckon I'm going to?
Oh, I don't know. Are you performing for some leopards?
No, I'm performing to some naturists.
What?
they're all going to be naked, Joel. I signed up to it. I didn't really think about it. That's mad.
Yeah, what's the lighting like?
I don't know. You know the whole thing where, like, if you're nervous?
Yeah.
Like, imagine the audience naked.
Well, this is it.
I'm more nervous.
Of course you are.
Gonna be
of
naked.
Course you are. It's so strange.
I'm not going to go naked. That's mental. But I've got one of those pinnies. Where, you know, the naked person.
Have you?
My girlfriend had one, so I'm just going to wear that. Is that funny? I don't know.
I think it's very funny, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got to do this quick because I've got to go and do that.
Yeah.
last week, great feedback for Nigel Ung.
Yeah, he was great.
Yep. Nigel, but normally I talk more about that, but we haven't got time. Brilliant. Go check it out. If you haven't watched it, go listen to it.
Yeah.
Good episode. Really good episode. Loads of good feedback. Loads of positive feedback about that one.
Nice.
I'm talking really fast.
So fast.
Yeah, sorry. Put it down on like half speed and then it'll just be like a normal...
Yeah.
Why is that on the podcast thing?
I don't know. I think it's weird, isn't it? Apparently a lot of people listen at 1.5 speed.
Really? Just to get it done and get more shit done.
But isn't it mad?
Yeah.
Just but enjoy
if you
yourself.
If you're at 1.5 speed now, you're like, it's going to be...
You won't hear a thing.
No. Anyway. So that was that. If you're thinking to yourself, God, I love this podcast. Wouldn't it be good to watch it in action when it happens?
Oh, I do think that. Regularly.
And you live in the vicinity of London.
Yep.
5th of December. 5th of December at the Bill Murray Pub in Angel. Yep. Great venue.
One of the best venues.
You can come and watch it.
I will.
Tickets. Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tickets are...
Do I have to buy a ticket?
No. Yeah, should I say yeah? Yeah,
everyone has to buy a ticket.
They're cheap though, cheap as chips, mate. Yeah. I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm guessing fiver-ish.
That's pretty good.
I hope it's not a lot more than that. But I don't think it is. Anyway, if you want to find out, go to marksimmons.co.uk and you can get all the links to the live stuff there. So go do that, please. Love to see you there. What else? Fucking hell, I'm knackered, mate. I had
a cold. Out of breath. Yeah, I'm really suffering at the moment as well.
Are you?
Yeah.
Crikey.
Just keep breathing into that microphone a bit more.
I did mock the week yesterday. That's the big news.
That's the headline. That's what we're all thinking.
That's the big news.
Yeah. So exciting.
Yeah, mate. I wish I had more time to talk about it. But maybe next week we'll talk more about it.
I think you're probably going to mention it again at some point.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think you might mention it.
How
exciting.
Mate, it was so much fun. Like, so much fun. Just really, once I was there in it, I just... Everyone, all the panelists were bloody lovely.
Oh, that's good.
Because they've all
hear.
Done it at least once before.
Yeah.
And they're really nice. And then everyone that works on the show were just so welcoming and nice. And
oh, good.
Just, It just can't say anything. Just can't say enough nice things about it.
Oh, amazing.
So check that out. Yeah. That is
Friday night.
Friday night, 10 p.m. on BBC Two.
And then iPlayer.
And iPlayer.
After that.
Who doesn't use iPlayer?
I love iPlayer.
I bloody love your iPlayer. Yeah. Fridays is good for the iPlayer as well. Graham Norton. Oh. Not the week.
Oh.
Would I Lie to You? What a trio.
What a lineup.
Yeah. Yes. Lovely. So please, yeah, listen in. So if you've only ever seen me or heard me do this podcast, wow. These are all the jokes that don't work. Hopefully, tomorrow, you'll see some that do work.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Did you really take it to the week? Did you really mock it?
I bloody mocked that week, mate.
Bloody hell.
I marked that week.
Mark the week.
Yeah, that was, someone said that. I can't, Simon Lomas put that on my Facebook earlier. He's very funny. Check him out. All that stuff. This is brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, this is all happening. I listened to it earlier, and no disrespect to any of my other guests, I think everyone else has been amazing. We've got loads of great episodes in the archive. Go back, listen to them. They're all good. This is my favourite.
Well,
he's a little bit of a hero of mine.
Yeah. It's Milton.
Oh, it's bloody Milton Jones. He is the master.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so good.
His jokes that don't work are just brilliant jokes.
Yeah, his jokes that don't work would be my jokes that do work. No, I don't know if that... Is that me saying that I'm better at telling them? That's not what I mean. Yeah. Cut that out.
We know what you mean.
You know what I mean. Yeah. Brilliant. If you're geeky about jokes, this is Mecca. Is that the right...
Yeah, yeah, the bingo place.
This is bingo.
Yeah.
I wonder what we're talking about. Oh, I'm still ill. Let's just get cracking straight into it.
Milton
Jones. So, yeah, we just get cracking, shall we, with it? So what's happening with you at the moment? You're on tour at the moment.
No, on big tour next year. I'm doing warm-ups, basically, for that.
Oh, okay.
So I've done... and I did Edinburgh, just gone.
How was that? How long was it since you went to Edinburgh?
2 years.
Oh, I need
so
to,
not
oh,
that long.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I only did 2 weeks as well.
Yeah.
So it's sort of cheating, but it was the idea to get the first hour ready for that. Because if I don't have a deadline, I don't really focus.
Yep, same.
So
I always have Leicester Comedy Festival in February.
Oh, yeah.
So by that point, as long as I've got an outline of a show,
sure.
I'm doing okay.
Yeah. So my actual tour begins at the end of January, 20-something.
Oh, okay.
And, so I'm doing press and...
So is the show like ready now, or are you still writing for it?
The first hour is ready.
Okay.
But I've got to make it a bit longer. Basically, what I do is 15 minutes at the top.
Yeah.
Usually as a character.
Yeah.
Then support act.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, that's a nice way around.
Yeah. So Tom Horton's doing that.
I saw he's doing it, yeah.
And then I'll do an hour and a bit in the second half.
Okay.
So several things. It's me coming on at the beginning of my show going, it's all right, everyone, relax. And here's someone else who's, you know, who I endorse.
Yeah.
And also...
And that breaks up the one-liners as well.
Exactly. That's the other thing, because, as you know, blood comes out of people's ears if you do it for more than a certain amount of time. So that helps. And also, quite often I'm following a little story in the second half.
Are you? Okay.
Sort of, loosely.
Is this a new thing?
I
know you did that in the last tour, didn't you?
For two or three tours now, I've had a radio show on Radio 4 for a number of years.
Yeah.
And that's a narrative. I mean, stupid narrative.
Yeah.
But it just, I mean, probably talk about this later, but having context is far easier than a blank page for me, at least.
Okay.
So if you know, right, the show I'm doing is about being a spy and spying MI5 and all that. I mean, rubbish. Total nonsense. But... writing a load of spy jokes is easier than going, right, write some jokes.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that's where I am. So it all comes just... So if something occurs, I write it in my phone. Once 10 things have occurred, I try and work out how to write them.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. If that's... Especially if you've got a deadline.
Exactly. There's nothing like people buying tickets for a show you haven't written to suddenly get out.
Yeah, I've never had that problem yet.
Focus. So... that's where I'm up to, and I'm doing warm-ups, and I quite like doing work in progress. when people know it's work in progress, the pressure is really off.
So that so the tour now is work in progress.
Yeah,
you,
technically, until Christmas, it's work in progress.
But it's still got the same format as the main tour.
It has now. It didn't to begin with. It was with bits of paper at the beginning.
Right.
But now I've learnt bits of it. And when we did Edinburgh, there were sound effects and stuff. So that's all tight.
Yeah.
But I just need to make it 20 minutes longer.
Right. Okay.
So and also.
Yeah, that's hard because I only ever do 50 in Edinburgh. So that's in a year I only ever write.
Sure.
I always aim to write 120 minutes. Mm. So then, but I don't know why. But I'm much more efficient now, but I still only ever just make 50.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's for me, it's very easy to underestimate how difficult it is.
Yeah.
And what happens is I write stuff that I'm not actually proud of.
Do I try that again?
Yeah. For me, I often underestimate how hard it is to write good stuff.
Yeah.
Quite often when you've had a good gig, you come off stage, I'll write another half hour of that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, when you wake up in the night and have that brilliant idea that feels like 5 minutes, it's actually 20 seconds, if that.
If lucky, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a big attrition rate of losing stuff. And also, even if you write, sometimes I get two good jokes, but they're too similar to doing the same show. They sound like they're related, but they're not. So they have to go in a different show. So, but also it's very helpful to do things like Mock the Week or the radio panel games or something where you specifically got to write stuff.
Yeah.
And you come up with stuff you'd never have done in a million years.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll use that stuff in your tour if it works.
If I can crowbar it in, which I usually can. Something like Mock the Week, I had a thing about you say potato. No, we say potato, you say potato. But then I just had the pun, you say tomato. And eventually, Trump came up on Mock the Week, and I was able to crowbar, you know, what should we do with American defense spending? You say to NATO. And that was all it needed.
Yeah,
but
the
point was that I made a note years ago of just that stupid little rhyme.
And it
was no use to me up until that point. Yeah. Until desperately going through, what can I come up with about NATO? Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
I think what I have got is a good memory.
Okay, yeah.
Which really helps. Because even if I can't remember specifically what it was, I go, no, there was something, there was something.
Oh, yeah, I'm the same as that, yeah.
So
I had a good joke about that. I forgot about it. I used to get a pad out and I used to say, these are some facts or something like that. And I go, you say tomato, I say tomato doesn't work written down. I love that. It just reminded me of it.
Well, those are great, aren't they? Anything you can do with a prop or the bullet points, 1 to 10, or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah.
It's still jokes, pretty much as you were doing, but it looks different and sounds different.
Yeah.
And presses refresh or reset for the audience.
Yeah.
Which is and if you watch anyone like Stephen Wright or Mitch Hedberg or Dimitri Martin, that was the other one. Guitar, strum a guitar, put it down again, carry on, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Break it up.
What did Mitch Hedberg do? Because I've only seen him do little short ones.
Yes, no, I can't even.
Because he just sort of goes on, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah. But
Emo Phillips used to take his like jackets off and stuff, I think. He used to wear loads of clothes and he'd take them off and then put them back on again or something.
Just
no reason, but just to break it up a bit.
And often when people in the past who did great things, as if you see a Tommy Cooper repeat on Gold or whatever, pretty thin.
Yeah.
So much of it. And yet once it recedes into history, it becomes epic in people's minds. But actually, I mean, obviously comedy moves on and stuff, but there's something to be said for doing stuff long ago because people think it's better and better as time goes by.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's nothing like trying stuff out. And
I love the buzz of trying something new.
It's the best feeling.
Yeah.
New bit that works.
Yeah.
That's what we do the job for, in a way.
Yeah.
Because then when you do your normal set, you go, here comes the new bit that works. What's disconcerting, though, occasionally it'll work two or three times and then it won't go as well.
Yeah, I hate that.
What? what? You mean that I was just on a roll? Mm-hmm. Oh, so annoying. Yeah,
I find those really frustrating. So a few people have told me that they've seen you do your work in progress, and they always, weirdly, they always, I say, oh, can you remember any of the jokes? And they always say the same one. Do you reckon you can guess what that is? Because I find it weird that they all pick the same one.
You mean specifically?
Yeah, we won't say what the joke is, but just what it...
Yeah, recently, yeah. We're talking. Not sure. No, I don't know.
Your one about a girl that steals something.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah, I think three different people have said to me about that joke.
Well, that is quite an interesting joke in that I had that 15 years ago in my head.
Really? Yeah.
I may as well say what it is, right?
Okay.
Because it's, I'm talking about being a spy. I woke up. You know, why did I get sacked from MI5, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, so no one told me that bit. Okay, yeah. So that's all linked.
Well, that's sort of the whole reason it works.
Oh.
Because I always said this, I woke up in the middle of the night, there was a beautiful woman in my bedroom. I said, who are you? What do you want? She said, Nikita. And sure enough, when I woke up in the morning, my radiator was missing, right? Now, I tried that just as a bloke saying, there's a beautiful woman in my bedroom, right?
Yeah.
But because Nikita was such a strange word,
yeah,
that everyone's going, oh, hang on a minute, what's this going to be? But if you'd say you're a spy and working in Russia and there was a beautiful woman called Nikita, they go, yeah, fair enough. So the misdirection works.
Also, you did the voice as well.
Yeah.
Which, for me, even though I knew what was coming, that made it for me then.
Right, yeah.
I found that funnier before you'd said the punchline because I knew...
Okay, yes, which is another form of misdirection.
Yeah.
I've also got a very old joke that I used to do. Go, my father used to say to me, what did he used to... How does it go? I hate this. Don't you find you can't go into your jokes unless you've done the three before? Yeah. I always remember my father saying to me, son, to pay for your education, your mother and I had to make a lot of sacrifices, right? Because they were both druids, right? That's the joke. Right? You've got a Welsh accent in there.
Yeah.
My father used to say to me, son, to pay for your education, mother and I used to have to make a lot of... And I just point with my thumb twice. Right. A lot of sacrifices. No, because they were both... No, pointing with my thumb goes before the druids bit. So... You're filling the time where they might get the joke with an action.
Oh, so it distracts them.
It's literally pointing in another direction.
Literally misdirection.
It's literally misdirection. So they're going, what's what? And they've just remembered the thing before. And then when you come back to it, you throw the punchline at them.
Yeah.
And you've kept that little thing going for just a second.
Yeah. Wow.
I can't do it without
doing it. So did you try it and then you noticed that some people were getting it a bit too quick?
Not consciously, it was an instinctive thing.
Okay, yeah.
And I've noticed I do it in a couple of other places as well.
So I've had that with new things. When I think that the audience might get it too quick, I totally ruin that. I go way too quick because I'm too worried that they're going to get it. Although there are some jokes where I actually say it all the way through without a beat because I just I just worked out that it wasn't hitting as well and then just sped it up and it does work quicker, which just goes against most like the way I normally do things.
Sure.
But I think with some, and also I guess that helps changing the pace with what you're doing because you start trying to see what's coming. Yeah.
It depends on the crowd sometimes as well.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you'd be in a bright room of people who are sort of racing ahead all the time.
Yeah.
And laughing in different places because they understand it.
So we've got the opposite problem, I think, with that. Because of where you are at the moment with touring to people who love what you do, you are going to get people that are so into it, they are able to see. Yeah. But at the moment, because I'm on the circuit, I have quite a lot of fun with people that aren't getting it.
Sure, yeah.
But I guess you don't get that so much. Because I find in Edinburgh, people are coming to see me. And the only time I get that is if a husband or a wife is with the person who loves one-liners, but they don't...
No idea what's going on.
Yeah, so that's the only time when in Edinburgh when that happens.
Yeah.
Because also I call my show One-Linerer every year.
Right.
And then add an ER each year.
Right.
Because I just had enough of people not knowing what they were getting when they were coming.
Yes.
So there's no excuse for them not to get it when they come in.
No. Friends being brought is always interesting, I think, because often they're being explained as well. So saying he's doing this, he's over.
Yeah. Every show I have that now. But I worked out how to play with it now, so I have fun with that. But
thing I do is, if I say a pun that's not too easy to get, and then someone laughs a minute later, I'll say the punchline of the joke a minute ago again, as if that person has just got that joke.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing there, it turns out, is not just explaining it to that person.
Yep.
There's another 5% who 100%. Didn't get it either.
Yeah. Because sometimes I feel like I don't want to pick on anyone too much. So what I sometimes dilute it by saying occasionally I explain a joke back to people, and then when other people laugh, because they might not even be laughing as in they just got it, they might just be laughing at the person, but I then say, don't worry, those ones didn't get it either, and then that makes them feel better.
Exactly.
So I do worry about that sometimes, but if they're smiling, I tend to keep going with them, but if they look like they're being picked on, I move on quite quick. That's really interesting.
Or if a pun is really obvious and there's no way around it, I've got one or two that are like, when I was at school, the place was run by a bloke with no arms and no legs and no body. He was called the Head. And if he wasn't available, there was another bloke with no arms and no legs and no body and a cowboy hat. They all race ahead.
Yeah.
And then I say, Mr. Brown.
Nice.
You know, so that...
Yeah, I've seen you do that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a way of having your cake and eat it.
Yeah, especially 45 minutes in.
Yeah.
Like they're gonna
exactly,
and they appreciate it even more then, right?
Hopefully. Although I think some people's brains just don't work in that way.
Yeah,
and they're the people staring. But like the Nikita thing, I think sometimes you just keep bashing away.
Yeah.
It comes good in the end.
Yeah.
There was one I was playing with the other day, and I think it's because people don't understand the reference.
Mm.
Because that's always a flaw if people don't understand the reference, you know. But my sister was saying that her flat's not big enough to swing a cat in, so I bought her a Manx cat, right? Which is, you know,
a little cat.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know that, but I assumed.
Right.
So I would have laughed, I think.
But quite often, you may have laughed, but, you know, if people don't know, it just puts enough doubt in their mind to go, is that... I see. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It needs to be a visceral bam.
Yeah.
The image is there. And it's like doing a joke about football.
Yeah.
You lose half the room straight away.
Yeah.
Unless it's Wayne Rooney or David Beckham or something.
Or a generic phrase about football. Yeah.
So Manx cat, I don't think it's enough in everyone's head.
What about a kitten? Or is that too much?
So I bought a kitten.
I feel like a lot of people won't like that because as soon as you say kitten, it's just that image of... Because I had a joke about... Never really worked. I can't work out whether it's just the image wasn't nice or people didn't know one of the references. Because I think I might have lost the blokes on it. But it was about... I saw an old lady go to throw... Like stick a load of kittens in a bag and go to throw it in a river. I was like, what the hell do you think you're doing? That's a Louis Vuitton. Right. But I feel like a lot of people don't know what a Louis Vuitton is. But I could never think of one that's a genetic... Because that is very expensive. But also, the setup is so horrible that I feel like... Because I don't come out of it well either. It's not like it's a horrible setup, but actually I'm quite nice in the end. Like, no. I still think it's okay to throw the cats in.
Yeah. And we all know you're making it up. That's the weird thing.
Yeah.
It's like, well... Clearly that didn't happen, but...
Oh, there's a joke about litter as well, isn't there? It's throwing the litter in. I just thought, that might work as a tag. I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah. But the biggest one that I've mentioned before in places, but I used to have a joke. Years ago, I set up camps for children, holidays for children with... with the short attention span.
Mm-hmm.
But I made the mistake of advertising them as concentration.
Okay.
Camps, right?
Yeah.
Right. It works as a joke.
Yeah.
But it, every so often you just get people, just a big intake of breath and
Yeah.
It's like doing a joke about Maddie McCann or something that's not about Maddie McCann.
Mm. Yes.
You know, it's about the Portuguese police or something. But the fact that you've mentioned
yeah.
that thing,
yeah,
people
buzzword.
Going, nah,
not. I've got a whole bit about that in my set now, as in, because I've actually worked out a way of how to get those jokes in. So anything. Like I've got some jokes with the word gay in the setup, and a lot of audience they're not offensive in the slightest,
yep.
but I can tell when I say the word how it's going to go, because I can just vibe that deathly silence just sure. before. So now I do all those jokes after I've dealt with that situation.
Yeah, that's a good way in.
But I think it's worse than ever at the moment for that sort of thing.
Yeah, of course, yeah. People are offended.
And also, because I'd say I'm ruder than you. I'd say I'm maybe across from you and Gary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like in the middle somewhere, because Gary is much further than I am.
Sure, yeah.
But it's just working out the way of doing those, isn't it, I think?
Sure. Then I've also had gags that I wouldn't tell in certain situations. It's like, there's an old one, I still did it the other day, actually.
Did you?
If you're in a mosque and everyone's praying, tricky, isn't it? If you're in a mosque and everyone's praying and you really like Leapfrog, right? I did that in a gig that turned out to be mostly army. And they all went, yeah, tell them. I thought, oh no, that's just not what I'm talking about. And it sometimes...
That's weird.
Yeah. I think, oh no, I've got to back off that in this environment. Doesn't mean I'll never do it again.
Yeah, but you've just got to realise.
Just be careful that I'm doing it in the right place.
Mm. Okay, cool. So any other ones like from the new sort of batch that you're
Well, there's one in the last batch that I've had. Again, it sort of proves context in that I had Justice and Just Ice knocking about for ages and couldn't quite get it. But then on the last tour I said... and this afternoon, I gave some ice cubes to some junior doctors as their placards demanded. It turns out they wanted justice, right? Right. But it wasn't until I put it in something that was topical.
Yeah.
And everyone that had the picture in their heads that the misdirection was off the word.
Yeah. Because would the laugh come when you said the placard?
No.
Because that's where I thought.
Yeah.
So you did not. So I thought maybe some people that were a bit quicker would have started.
Not usually, no. In fact, it was a slow burner as well. Look, some people got it straight away.
Yeah.
But it turns out they wanted justice, laugh.
Yeah.
But the curve of the laugh was quite slow down.
Did you do that on Mock the Week?
I've never done, no.
Because no. I must imagine you can fit that in at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably can.
Yeah.
So if you do a lot of Mock the Week, what happens is you think, that will come in use in a story one time. Put that on one side. I need to do this in the stand-up because that will never get used ever.
Yeah.
yeah. I'm trying to think of something. I've got another one that, I don't think will ever work. It's about my Edinburgh show was about throwing chairs at tramps. Still, it puts seats on bums.
There's
several things that don't work there. Bum is too an American word, and I'm not American.
Yeah.
Edinburgh show is a bit kind of arch in what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And the phrase, bums on seats, is a bit of a theatre phrase. I don't think people know it, but it's not like in most people's vocabulary, I think.
Yeah.
So there are about four reasons why that doesn't work.
Yeah, I think also any jokes about homeless, I think people get
that's
a bit.
Another thing. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think if you in America, bum is it's an insult almost, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that's.
Yeah. It's what, just poor taste in general. Yeah.
But technically, it's a joke.
Yeah, it's just a reversal.
It works.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works as a joke. Yeah, I had a joke that was just a bit too industry. I mentioned it on one of the recent podcasts, something to do with I was asking a comedian what venues they were playing, and they said 200 to 300 seaters. I said, I wouldn't want to play the 2 seaters. but it just, one, I think,
yeah.
it's just something that just in general people just wouldn't ever say each other.
Yeah.
And then Paul F. Taylor was on. Do you know Paul?
Yeah,
he's great. He suggested something about could be number of people that died, so 200 to 300. So I really don't know how many people died or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But just never quite hit. But that sure. The thing with the ones I do on the podcast now, because I've been doing it a lot, I've sort of gone through all the ones in the past. So everything's quite new. So a lot of stuff can still be salvaged. But this is an interesting one that I did it a couple of times and it worked once, didn't work another time. And then, so I'll tell you what the joke was. It's something so it's a weird setup. So I've got quite weird genitals. And I went to the doctors and I asked him to check them. So he checked the right and then left and didn't come back. Checked the right and then left and didn't come back. So, and then left testicle or he left the building.
Oh, I see. And left, sorry.
Yeah. So as a joke, that
and
was...
Then the left. Then left. I see.
So the joke is he checked the right and then left. But then I worked backwards off of that as a...
Yeah, sure.
But it would either work or it wouldn't.
Yeah.
And then I did it and I forgot the punchline, like in the new materials.
Oh, great.
So I went, I got quite weird genitals... And I couldn't remember what came next. So I just went, anyway. And that got a big laugh. And that got a much bigger laugh than anything because they're so used to the rhythm of the punchline.
Yeah,
so now, I mean, I haven't done it in a proper gig yet, but I think that will work.
It will, yes.
Which is weird. Yeah.
But that's nice when you get to point B because you got to point A that got thrown away.
Yeah.
Because... You did. If you'd sat at home and tried to make it work, it was the performing of it that did it.
Yeah. It's just that that was comic instinct because I was panicking because I couldn't remember where the joke was going.
Yes,
and then that just came out of nowhere.
I think I might have done a similar one years ago. So, you know, when you're in a relationship, what's that like? It helps too that if it sounds like a traditional stand-up intro.
Yeah. And also, because of your persona, I think that really makes that nice.
I've got another one at the minute that I feel there's something in it, but I can't quite nail it. The connection is I didn't know, say my grandfather, I put a lot of jokes on my grandfather, but it's just a way of not making them me. We didn't know my grandfather had double vision until we took him to the beach and he kept going on about the synchronized swimming. I'm not sure why it doesn't quite work for me at the moment.
Is it because it's the beach?
Maybe. Swimming pool. But then why would you take your granddad to the swimming pool?
Because your grandchildren are having lessons?
Maybe.
But then if it's a swimming pool, it could be synchronized swimming.
Yeah.
But you have preempted it.
Yeah. And you said swim as well.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be saying swim too much. But I know the image is there.
Well, I laughed.
Yeah. But you're not a typical punter in the sense that...
Going to the beach. When I came out of the water, he said, I didn't know you could do synchronized swimming. Or who are you synchronized? So you've tried that and it just doesn't quite...
I've tried it. It's gone off at about 40%.
Really? I really like that. I had an idea for a joke that never worked that was synchronized swimming based, which was about, it's a long time ago now. It was something to do with, if you're a synchronized swimmer, you should just enter, the normal flat race.
Yeah.
And just copy what the next person does. So obviously you'd go at the same speed. There was some theory there.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know whether that's... if it's too weird an idea, that might not suit me so much. But, But it didn't get anything. The audience just... But just not...
Well, I think what we do, if it works, is put a cartoon in someone's head.
Yeah.
A picture that they can see. And then the punchline whips it around to something that they weren't expecting.
Yeah.
So, but with that, I'm not sure... So you copy the other person. That doesn't mean you win necessarily.
No, you'd just be a draw, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you'd just... Well, what if the person's coming last? You know, what? I've got too many questions subconsciously about what's going on there.
It's one of those, it's just an idea rather than a joke, isn't it? It's like a...
But often those are the, you know, you've got a great big lump of rock there and there is something inside.
Yeah,
it just
yeah.
needs hacking at
yeah.
to get it down to the right.
So I had another one which was something about this synchronized... I'm part of a synchronized swimming team, but you... Something about there's a lot of tension under the surface. It's like people think I get on with my synchronized swimming team, but there's a lot of tension under the surface.
Yes. Now, physics, is that correct, though? See, this is where I'm going into my head.
Yeah,
surface tension, yeah, but isn't there less tension under the water?
There might be.
Do you know what I mean?
So on the other side of the joke, it doesn't... Sort of tension under the surface.
Yeah, I've got a technical point about the joke.
I don't know. Yeah, but that never really hits. That's just something I just put in the in the B team. If I ever have a synchronized swimmer in the audience,
exactly, and then that looks like magic because I was writing radio, and someone suggested there was a dog, an old English Shepherd cross. And someone said, "Well, you say cross, I bet he was furious." But that, I said, "No, because that doesn't make sense. You'd have to say, I'd a cross an old English shepherd."
Is that what you say? You have a as in if he was angry, you would have a cross one. You wouldn't have
almost a comma after the cross. Yeah.
Well, no, it would have to be in the conversation, wouldn't it? So you'd say to me, "I got the whatever the dog was," and I'd go cross, and you'd go maybe. Is that something someone would say?
Yeah. It was part of dialogue that I was writing for characters.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
But the person who originally looked at it, producer, said, "Why don't you put the cross at the end?" I said, "Well, no, that doesn't make sense then. You've got to have cross, comma, old English sheepdog, otherwise it doesn't."
Does that work on the other side of the joke? Because if you, as the breed, can you say I had a cross?
So the person says, "What kind of dog's that?" He said, "It's a cross. Old English sheepdog."
Okay.
"It's a cross. Old English sheepdog."
Yeah.
I said, "Yeah, I'd be cross as well if I was half dog, half sheep." You know. So that sort of works, but it's all in the delivery.
Yeah, yeah.
But putting the cross at the end of the sentence didn't make sense because no one says that.
No.
So an old English sheepdog cross, but who is cross? It's what, anyway.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I've got one here that I really like the idea. I think I brought it up on the podcast before, but I've sort of brought it back trying to get it to work. But so I went to a sleep talking expert. He was really good. I couldn't even tell he was asleep. But it doesn't work at all. But it's a good joke, I think. I think if he's asleep talking... But I've tried it lots of different ways.
A, is there such a thing?
As a sleep talking expert? Yeah. It's probably a sleep expert, isn't it? It's probably not a sleep talking... maybe in the setup, maybe.
Yeah, maybe it needs to be a
I went to a sleep expert.
Yeah.
Couldn't even tell he was asleep.
I'm having trouble sleeping. You don't want to say sleep too much, though.
No.
I'm awake at night a lot, so I went to a sleep expert. What's the punchline?
I didn't even know he was asleep. But if he's a sleep expert, it doesn't mean he would necessarily
no,
do this.
No, quite.
I went to a sleep talking expert. Yeah, maybe that's a problem as well, because yeah. It's not necessarily, there's nothing to say that he's definitely asleep. But yeah. If you're going to see a sleep talking expert, you'd assume he's going to be asleep and talking if he's that good at it. Ah, oh, it's annoying.
Yeah, yeah, that's it's annoying.
It's one of those.
I think, I mean, maybe not so much that, but often the jokes that work the best are if it sounds, in the setup sounds an entirely normal thing to say.
Yeah. That's why I aim for.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Unless sleep... He says you should go to a sleep talking expert. Maybe if someone else gets it wrong.
Yeah, that might be easier.
He says you should go... I don't know if you find the same, but I tend to find conversation jokes work better than just putting something out there as a statement. I tend to find.
Also, it helps build your world.
Yes. You know,
that people see, oh yeah, he's got a mum and a dad who do I can imagine him at home on his own or whatever.
Yeah.
You know. Isn't it they say about the best comedians, they draw you into their world.
Mm.
So you can imagine Harry Hill trying to get a donkey in the oven or whatever that could happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you can see him in his kitchen, so you're painting a picture of all the things you say during your act.
Oh yeah.
So
I don't
that
really
the punchlines
yeah.
become more and more believable potentially,
because it's like they believe, they're like, someone said this before, I don't know whether they said it about when after they watched me or something, but they were saying something about they like how every time you trick for the audience, but each time they go, oh no, but this is real. that's what you want to get is they go, oh yeah, he tricked me 20 times before, I believe this setup, oh no, trick me again.
They've literally suspended their disbelief, rather.
Yes.
And they haven't put it back at any point. Oh, they're sort of playing with themselves, to give the expression, that they know that they'll enjoy it more if they don't go, oh, he's just sat at home and written some words.
Yeah, yeah.
That no one wants to think that.
And this is why when they don't really aren't going for it, I just want to shake them. I go, chill out. Come along. It's much more fun if you just get on board.
Yeah, I think the hardest audiences I get, and it tends not to be obviously when I'm on tour because they know what they're in for, but obviously corporate crowds and stuff can be difficult for their own reason, but because they haven't invested, but often a very theatre audience that is slightly up itself.
Yes.
And they go, oh, these are just puns, for goodness sake. Anyone could do these. These are lolly stick gags. Not that you'd find any on a lolly stick.
Yeah, dad jokes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's another thing. See, what is a dad joke?
Because people quite often come up to me afterwards and they think they're actually being nice and they're going, oh, my dad would like this. They're probably dad jokes, aren't they? I'm like, they're not dad jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
They're actually very clever, thanks very much.
Yeah. No, it's a genre that is ill-defined or wrongly defined. That's not to say we can't do bad jokes. Mm. You know, all our jokes are brilliant. But there's more to it than people think sometimes. I was wheeled in for some reason. There was a medical conference.
Right.
And medical psychology conference. And I was wheeled in as the lighter. But they were talking about performing under pressure.
Okay.
And I was supposed to say, well, I do this and this to get through a gig and blah, blah.
Something. So like a proper...
Yeah, this was a seminar, a proper surgeons and blah, blah.
So not a gig.
Not a gig at all, no. And I didn't have to perform. They showed a bit of video and it was all fine. They asked questions. They were very nice. I suddenly realised that the consequences of them messing up are so entirely different.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I'm being wheeled in as the hero. And the worst thing that can happen is someone goes, "Nah, didn't like that." That is it.
Yeah.
But if someone goes, they're probably dead
in their life. Rarely an audience member dies.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just thought, oh, I need to be lighter about it as well.
Did you mention that?
Yeah.
Because I've heard a few stand-up bits where they say how they met like a soldier and they said, oh, you're so brave, how you do that. But it's true, people do have that perception of
they
it.
They do, and yeah.
We are just standing in front just saying some jokes.
I mean, it is hard to get going. But it's not, you know, it's because you're partly battling yourself, your own self-confidence and the emotional rejection or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Blah, blah. That's not easy. The worst one, just to raise you, the soldier, the worst one, I did a charity thing in Africa with some kids.
How did you?
Child soldiers.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? So I was wheeled in as the funny guy to 80 child soldiers, and who were all like 13, 14, having come out of the bush, having killed people.
What?
And they were all nice, and you could look in their eyes, and you think, something badly wrong there. And then one of them put their hand up and said, so please tell us what difficulties you've had in your life as a comedian. I just thought, no, you win. That's like...
Yeah. This moment.
Yeah, well, this for a start. And another time the parking was bad in Croydon. That's it. Good night.
That sounds like such an odd gig.
Yeah, well, it wasn't really a gig, but it was like... it was a seminal moment in my head of going, shut up, Jones.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So have you got anything over the years that's just been bugging you forever?
I mean, in personal relationships. Yeah. I'm sure.
People ask you to do podcasts.
Yeah. Joke-wise, let me think. I wrote some down. Quite often what happens is I'll throw something into a tour gig, but it never comes out when I do 20 minutes because it's... Not okay. Even a C gag, it's kind of a D gag.
Right. But do you, because something I think, because when I was supporting Sean Walsh on tour, he and his sort of comic has the ability to hit big and just keep that big. So it made me a much better comic because I was constantly striving to get the same reaction as he did, so I was much more ruthless with my jokes, and I think I got so much better. But then I came to realization is we can't do that with jokes. You can't stay up there for the whole time.
No.
You do have to come down a bit to then get the pop for another good one. So that I don't know what my point is really, but
also Sean's investing a lot of emotional energy and stuff. He's performing much bigger.
Yeah,
and also he's engaging, I'm trying to think of a phrase other than emotional intelligence. There's an empathy that some people will take on and join him on that wave.
Yeah.
Whereas...
Wave's a good word, yeah.
Yeah. In a way, we're offering mind candy.
Yeah, okay.
And you're never going to explode... emotionally with mind candy.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of people with Sean's type of stuff, which is great, are going to go, I feel the same, or I can imagine that. And there, it's almost like music, you know, that people will get on board emotionally.
Yeah.
Whereas people are just getting, well, for me anyway, I think they're just getting on board mentally and it's pleasant. But it's never going to have that same emotional impact. The good side of what we do, though, is that people, especially if you do stuff on telly, people remember it.
Yeah.
Because it's short, and they will tell their friends it. Whereas, with great respect to Sean and Co, they'll go, he had this great story about when he was drunk and he couldn't remember, blah, 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 whatever it is. And again, you've got to be there. Whereas... you know, we can have ours go around the internet very quickly, which is good and bad.
Yeah, I've had one joke that's my most stolen joke.
Really?
And it was on one of those best jokes lists.
Yeah.
It was, I think I spoke about it loads, but I have fun with it now. I went to Waterstones, asked a woman for a book about turtles. She said hardback, and I was like, yeah, and little heads.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is about that joke that's just grabs... like, because it's not even one of the biggest hitters in my set.
Yeah.
But for some reason, on the page...
Yeah.
Every... like, it's had hundreds of thousands of likes and retweets that aren't my likes or retweets, because they sort of take that one off.
Sure.
Which I now see it as a compliment, because my initially I was annoyed, because that was when I wasn't as prolific a writer.
And you only had four jokes. And
that was one. But now I'm just like, just write more.
Yeah.
And I still do the joke, and it doesn't affect the set. And no one goes, oh, I've heard that.
My favourite bit is Little Heads.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nick Helm said that to me. Yeah. He said, because of the image.
Yeah.
And But that's how I know it's stolen. Because if someone else came up with that joke, it's unlikely that they would say Little Heads.
Yeah.
That's the most unlikely part to be the same, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I could see people thinking they're the same pun.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, but that, it doesn't bother me anymore. It used to bother me. But so have you found over the years that social media as well has changed the game with it, hasn't it?
It's much better now that I'm more well known. But yes.
Because you can claim it, as in they're like, oh, that's a Milton Jones joke.
Yeah. Whereas, or people will stand up for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially social media, they go, thank you, Milton Jones. Credit where credit's due, or whatever it is.
which is
great, because you know what it's like as a comic. Oh, no, I wrote that. Mm. I wrote, it sounds pathetic, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's well, yeah, it's just a joke, mate. It's a compliment.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I started out centuries ago, the old school was sort of still around.
Right.
Who just helped themselves.
Yeah.
And so people were doing stuff on telly that had my jokes in when I first started. And of course, people will always assume that the more famous person wrote it.
Of course, yeah.
And that you're just a whinging comic. And again, I talked about that before, but I had one of my very first jokes was when the boys in the playground found out I had a potentially fatal allergy to peanuts, they used to shove me up against the wall and make me play Russian roulette with a bag of Revels.
That's great.
Right? Revels did an advert with Russian roulette.
Mm.
And loads of people wrote to the Guardian.
Oh.
And said, that's a Milton Jones joke. Now, they acted it out, and they didn't use peanut one. They used the coffee one. So it was adapted in some way.
What, because they didn't like the coffee? That was the angle.
Was it the orange one? It wasn't the nut one, because people would have kicked off about nut allergies.
Of course,
probably.
Yeah.
But the principle was the same.
Yeah.
And of course, when asked about it, the ad company said, no, we've got blah, blah. But they'd already nicked another idea about Maltesers for a different ad. Not from me, from someone else.
Right. That's so annoying. So nothing happened?
Nothing happened.
No.
There was a Guardian in the article in the Guardian, and people knew. But
of course.
Nothing you can do about it.
No.
If it was music, everyone would have ended up in court.
Yeah, yeah. But I used to worry a lot more about that sort of thing, but now I just...
Yeah.
You just... Like someone messaged me the other day and said, someone's doing one of your jokes.
Mm.
It just depends on the comic.
Yeah.
Because if it's one of the other one-liner guys, I don't know what it is, but I think we're all really nice.
Yeah.
I don't know any of the one... Maybe.
No, that is odd, isn't it?
Yeah. And so we kind of... I think Gary Delaney came to watch my show 1 year, and then a little bit later he sent a thing to a couple of one-liner comics and said, I thought of this joke, but I'm pretty sure I might have heard someone do something similar, and it was one of mine. And he went, okay, cool, and it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, everyone gets on really well. And,
yeah, yeah.
And if I see another one-liner comic doing one of mine, I don't assume they've nicked it, because I just don't think any of us need to.
No,
we write so much.
If you found out that something you just written was someone else's, not only would you not want people... Well, if someone was bad, they wouldn't get away with it. But also, I'd lose interest in that joke.
Yes.
So I think, oh, it's already out there. It's
not 100%. Yeah.
But then you can spot a thief, because their whole act is gathered from other places.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say that sometimes you see a new act that's not great.
Yeah.
And then they've got one joke that smashes. And I know where it's from, because I've got a good memory for jokes.
Sure.
So... That's era. I find you know that's not, they haven't. There's no
well,
way
it stands
just,
out.
Yeah,
compared to, but occasionally one of those people will accrue so much of other people's stuff that it'll go big joke, clunk. Oh, you wrote clunk yourself, didn't you? That's where it.
yeah, But yeah, so I would, because also, so sometimes you see on Twitter like a comic will put a joke up that's the same as one of mine. It's, yeah. it's difficult because you don't, like you said, it's, you do sound a bit whiny, but I can't.
They may have thought of it on their own, yeah. or the principle anyway.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Because there's only so many words and double yeah. meanings out there.
Yeah, and if they're one of my friends and yeah. I know they're not, they haven't stolen it. So yeah. like Darren Walsh and I, we message quite a lot.
Sure.
And because I've got a good knowledge of other people's jokes as well. So yeah. if he writes something, he sends it to me sure. and if someone else, I go, oh, Milton's done that. Mm. And they go, okay, next. You, know yeah. I mean? You don't worry about it. Because yeah, yeah. the trouble is, because to come up with an hour a year, you have to write so much
yeah.
that you are going to stand on some toes, yeah, yeah. but I don't worry about it until someone tells me. Mm. And if I'm sending it to another one-liner comic, they should know.
I usually message Adam Bloom.
Oh, yeah, Adam. I need to get Adam on air, actually.
Yeah, yes. No, yeah, well, he'd be very good. He's very, I mean, he's so
yeah.
Adam-y.
Oh, I really should get him on. Cool. Any other bits and pieces yeah. that you've got that...
I'm trying to do... I'd only say never throw anything away.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Because one day something will happen. You think you'll go through your files or put in your keyword to the file or whatever it is, and it'll just show itself in a different light. For me, the creative process of writing jokes and scripts is all about coming to it fresh. Because after about an hour of doing stuff, my head goes down an alleyway that I can't get out of.
Yeah, yeah.
So go away, do something else, come to it fresh.
Are you a sit and writer?
Like, yeah, mornings, a few hours every morning.
Do
basically,
you?
Yeah. And then obviously nearer a show, then I have to do more. But there's no way out of making myself do it.
I do find that. I sit in a cafe, that's my thing. I can't work at home.
Right.
See, I find that the best stuff I come up with, I think, on the fly, like during a conversation or yeah. something, I write it down, and that's when I can sit down. And if I've got the idea, I can sure. work out how to piece it together. Yeah. But sitting and writing, I rarely come up with a lot of stuff. But it's the same thing. I get to that point where I'm like, I have to go for a walk now or go to the gym or something just to...
But they say sometimes you've done the spade work in your head at that point and it's, you know, moving around yeah. or... something, suddenly it will focus in a way that it wouldn't when you were just sitting in front of a computer or whatever. And it's about hours plodding away, scraping away, snuffling around for truffles of comedy. Hard work, there's no way around it.
Yeah, I feel like I've got better in the last 2 years at writing. So I've gone back through old books.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
my last show was pretty much a lot of old ideas that I couldn't get to work.
Absolutely.
But now I just know how to piece them together. Because I think if there's a funny idea in something, there is a way of doing it. Like that sleep talking one, there is a way to make that happen I think.
Yeah, yeah. But do you find that when you go to a club, sometimes you've got an idea, you go, oh no. And because you can hear the audience... You're getting your adrenaline up. You can suddenly see, doesn't always work, suddenly see what you couldn't see in a coffee shop.
Yep.
Because
the adrenaline.
The moment says, no, lose that bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And add this.
Yeah.
Small heads on the end. That'll do it. Yeah.
I find on the way home from gigs as well, when I'm driving, once the buzz and your brain's in comedy mode, I stop at services a lot to write down ideas.
Right, yes.
Before I lose them.
Yes, and middle of the night feels hilarious. However, nothing works in the morning.
But I find that sometimes just as I'm going to sleep, I do think of things because that's the time when I'm totally at peace. And then I keep having to wake up, write it down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then sometimes during the day, I think that's my best state. So I'll go and lie down and then I wake up 2 hours later.
Oh, no. Yeah, and someone phoning you.
Yeah, you're meant to be in Twickenham at a gig.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cool. I think that's good. Are you?
Yeah, whatever you want. Yeah,
no, this is perfect. Thank you so much for coming. It's been a bloody pleasure. Milton Jones!
Yes!
Oh, didn't I say that was a good one?
You did, and do you know what? I agree.
Yeah. It was. That is my favourite one. I'm sorry, but it's my favourite one. And you never guess who we've got next week. I'm overwhelmed by...
Quality.
Ed Byrne.
What?
Yeah, and I was on Mock the Week with Ed Byrne.
You're on Mock the Week?
Oh yeah, I've not told you about that.
I've not seen much of it.
Yeah, yeah. And just randomly timed. Nothing to do with the week. I'd never met him before. And we
now you're hanging out with him all the time.
He was lovely. Really nice. I went to where he was doing a theatre show. Mm-hmm. And what a nice bloke. He'd driven all the way from Leeds, got there, and then had to do the bloody podcast with me and then do a show. Like, what a trooper.
Yeah.
Lovely bloke. Look forward to that next week. Hit subscribe if you like the podcast.
I do.
Go to iTunes, leave a 5-star review. If you can be bothered, please be bothered.
Yeah.
It does make our day. Yeah. And if you want to come see the live show, 5th of December in London, tickets at marksimmons.co.uk. Anything else to say, Joel?
You've got to go and perform to some naked people.
I am going to go and perform to some naked people.
And we'll hear all about that before the Ed Byrne interview next week.
We will. Yeah, let's do it. Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.